view the birth of Christ, and perhaps not so much the birth of Christ, but just Christ in general. And he gave me, as busy as I was this year approaching Christmas, he still gave me a lot to chew on. And this is just a little bit of, you might call, perspective and remembering, and just tried to tie it together here in a short message. Bob asked for a sort of a devotional to keep it shorter, so I'll try to do that. Don't worry about turning to the scriptures if you can, or I mean if you want to, go ahead, but you don't have to. I'll call them out and I'll just read through them, and that way we'll get through it a little bit quicker, and maybe we'll fall within that 10 to 15 minute range that Bob was talking about. We're having some technical difficulties. All right, if we can make that. There we go. Okay, so we didn't have a Christmas tree this year, so I thought I would bring the lights with me. And start off with Psalm 19:1. That says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." So, with the naked eye, we can see about 5,000 stars. And with a small telescope, we can see about 2 million. And there are billions of stars in each galaxy, and billions of galaxies. So this picture was taken by the Webb Telescope, and it was launched out into space on, you guessed it, Christmas. I found that interesting. I actually found that out after I put this message together. I thought that was really cool. So don't mistake these for stars, because they're actually galaxies. And so if we traveled at the speed of light, which is about 675 million miles per hour, now that's pretty fast. Don't tell my mom this, but I've gone about 140, 150 miles an hour before, and that seemed really fast. But 675 million miles per hour. Now, if we could go that fast, it would take us millions of years to go from galaxy to galaxy. Now, keep in mind, each one of those are a galaxy. So to hop from one galaxy to the next, it would take millions of years. And remember that in each galaxy is billions of stars. And this picture is just a slice of the pie. Because if you took that telescope and turned it this way, you'd see that same thing. Billions of galaxies. Now remember that Jesus created all things. John 1:3 tells us all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He merely spoke the heavens into existence. Psalm 33:6 tells us, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, an interesting side note, he actually created the star that shone brightly around the time of his birth. Did you ever consider that? Pretty interesting. Now, if creation is so great, how much greater is the Creator? To clarify that, let's look at Isaiah 40:12. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" This is speaking of God, of course. "And measured heaven with a span." Now, if we look at that a little bit more carefully, we find that a span is the distance between the thumb and the index finger. So he measures the heavens with the span of his hand. And by this verse, we see that he holds the vastness of the universe in his hand. And in that vastness somewhere is a chunk of dirt called Earth. And on it, we are little specks of dust. If we look down beyond that chunk of dirt called the Earth and those little specks of dirt, on his palm, on his hand, we see our name written right next to the nail scars. And God tells us in Isaiah 49:16, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Now, how is that for perspective? We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But love was not enough to save us from our sin. God required a perfect sacrifice, and God the Son came in the flesh in order to be the Savior of those who will believe on him. John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And Philippians 2:7-8 tells us, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He laid everything down to come and walk amongst us so that he could be the perfect sacrifice and that so we could come to know him." In order to be the perfect sacrifice, first it was necessary for Jesus, to be born under the law. All of us have failed to fulfill God's law. Christ came in the flesh under the law to fulfill the law on our behalf. Galatians 4:4 tells us, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And in Matthew 5:17, Jesus himself says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Second, it was necessary for Jesus to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22 says that, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." A blood sacrifice, of course, requires a body of flesh and blood. And this was all part of God's plan for salvation. And we must not forget the resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Ephesians 4:7-8 says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Got a page upside down here. Okay. He laid everything down and sacrificed all. To do this, he humbled himself and descended to the world meek and poor, but ascended to heaven after his resurrection with the greatest riches ever known. He did not keep them for himself, but rather gave them as a free gift to you and I. Salvation, the Holy Spirit, and fruit of the Spirit, to name a few of these gifts that he has made available to us. He redeems us, sets us free, and equips us with everything we need to have a joyful life in him, to walk with him and serve him, to love him and to love others. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now how easy should it be to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? Knowing that he did all of this so we could be born again, sanctified, and spend eternity with him, can you even imagine what he has in store for us when we are in his glorious presence? Remember that even though he holds the universe in his hand, that he is not too big for us to sit and talk with him. In fact, he desires that we do so. And with that, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And would it be possible to put up that other picture? Just another cool picture from the James Webb, another picture of what our wonderful Savior has created. That's actually a galaxy, one galaxy out of a billion, or billions. And then there's another picture there as well. Just amazing. Thank you for the opportunity to share.